If you want to turn to the scripture where I would like to start tonight, I'd ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. I think that there are many people in the world today that can't really grasp the concept of any type of force that is beyond that of what's natural. They can't really grasp or choose not to believe in a spiritual realm. There are things at work, and truly everybody that has had a true experience of salvation knows this, but there are entities at work, and there are things going on. See them, they're happening, and they're just as real as what we can see. There is a spiritual realm around us. I think that probably in our world today, that if you were to tell some people that you are speaking with God and that God is speaking to you, that they would want to fit you for a certain type of jacket and put you in a padded room somewhere, because they would believe you to be crazy if you mention that, you know, God speaks to you. I like the old song, Brother Strode, in the garden. He walks with me and he talks with me, tells me I'm his own. God does that with his creation. And we find one of the first things that we find spoken of in the scriptures is the power of God's voice, the authoritative power that he has in his voice. When God speaks, he is like nobody else speaking. And if we look in Genesis chapter 1 in the third verse, it tells us that light in the midst of this chaos, you know, God had created the heaven and the earth, but it was in chaos. It didn't have form. It was dark, and the Lord began to shape it. He created it, and then he began to mold it and make it and shape it into what he wanted it to be. And the first thing that he did was commanded the light to shine. Very simple verse. I mean, we've all heard it. We've all read it. It just simply tells us God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, you and I, you know, when we want something to happen, you know, we don't command this type of authority. If we did, I would probably just say, let my grass be mowed. I mean, we cannot speak and cause things to happen, but God can. He's the only one that has that type of authority behind his voice. And I like what we read in the 33rd Psalm concerning the creation. In Psalm 33, the psalmist spoke about this in verses 6 through 9. He said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, you know, this is something that just adds to what we believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ being the incarnate God, being God in the flesh, because we have the examples that we have in the New Testament of Jesus being able to just do nothing more than speak to the wind, and the wind just lay down at his feet by nothing more than the command of his voice. The things that he did oftentimes in his ministry, that they showed forth the power of God, because only God was able to do those things. If we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 6, it said, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts." And so, you know, when the Lord saved us, because when we're lost, we're in darkness. You know, sin is often referred to in the Bible as darkness. And when we're lost in sin, we're in darkness. And the Lord, when he saves us, he shines his great light there in the midst of that darkness. And I want to read that verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So, when we sing the song with our little children, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," we do have a light. If we've been saved, we have been given light. And, you know, we often, In giving our testimonies, what is it that we often hear? I mean, what are God's people well known for saying when they share their testimony of salvation? How many times have you heard a child of God relate their experience and say, "God spoke peace to my soul. He spoke peace to my soul." Now, as I said, there are many people in the world today that would, and to be honest with you, there are religious people in the world that don't believe you're going to actually have God speak to you. But I'm going to say this, does not speak then there is no relationship with him. Because Jesus made this statement in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Well, I mean, translated, that would mean I speak to my people. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So God began to speak to people from the very beginning of creation. That was, you know, when God created man, that's one of the first things that we see is that God communicated with him. He communicated with his creation. We'll go back to the book of Genesis, in the first chapter of Genesis. In verses 27 and 29, or 27 through 29, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them." He began to speak to them. "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Now there are people today that want our children to believe in primitive man. They want our children to believe that man was the something that came along in the process of evolution. They want our children to believe that there was a time that man, you know, had a thinking, but man has never been that way. God created man an intelligent being and instructed him in what he was supposed to do. God gave Adam and Eve instructions as to what they were supposed to do. God told them, his man and his wife, that they were to have a physical relationship, that they were to multiply, that they were to replenish the earth. And he gave them instruction that would cause them to know the purpose that they had here. And, you know, listen, for anybody that's wandering around in this world just void of any understanding about why they're here or what they're supposed to do, they need to just look at what God has said. Because God didn't put us here on this earth to just wander around and not know what life is about. I mean, he has given us very detailed instructions in his word as to why we're here. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, in the first four verses, and I may not necessarily read all these tonight, but you'll find that God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to him. He communed with him there in Mesopotamia, in the Ur of the Chaldees. God spoke to Abraham and told him, I want you to leave here. I want you to pick up and leave your homeland. I want you to take off. I want you to go to where I will show you where you are supposed to be. In the third chapter of Exodus, in the first four verses, we have an account of God speaking to Moses out of the midst of the burning bush. Now, you know, God never has done that with me. Never. He has never shown me the burning bush. I believe I'll be safe in saying that that's true for all of you here tonight. That God hasn't spoke to any of you out of the midst of the burning bush the way that he did Moses. But he did. In Moses' case, he did. He spoke to him out of the midst of the burning bush. Now, Moses had been in Egypt. He had spent his first 40 years in Egypt. And then when he fled Egypt there to Sinai, there in that desolate desert place where I'm sure that things were much more quiet than what they were in Egypt. You know, God got his attention there and spoke to him and told him what his will was for him and what his plans were for him and instructed him what he was supposed to do. Listen, as children of God, we need to know what God wants us to do. We need to know God's will for our life. He wants us to know his will for our life. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to say this because I've got great confidence in the Lord. If you don't know, if you're a child of God and you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing, you need to talk to God. He'll reveal his will. I believe God will make known his will to everybody that really wants to know. God, what would you have me to do? And he'll speak to you. But you know, God has the power and the authority in his voice that he can speak to us anywhere. If you look in the 12th chapter of Exodus, you'll find an account of Moses and Aaron had gone back to Egypt. They were no longer out in that desolate area out there. They were no longer around the burning bush. But the Bible simply tells us there, it's in the land of Egypt. He can speak to us anywhere, wherever we're at. First Samuel chapter 3. God spoke to Samuel when he was just a child. Did any of you hear the voice of God in your childhood? I did. I've heard many of you give your testimony of being saved at a young age. Yes, God was speaking to you in your childhood, wasn't he? When we were just really little boys, Brother Wayne, God was speaking to us. And he knows how to get our attention. God knows how to speak to us where we know who's doing the talking. We know the voice of the Lord, don't we? We know the voice of our Master. God can speak to His creation. His creation! And He can speak through His creation. And not only people. Not only people. He can speak through anything. You think God could speak through the mouth of a donkey? Well, He did, didn't He? He did it. God speaks of His existence. The Bible teaches us this. God speaks of His existence to this world by things that they see every day. And yet there are people that say there is no God. No wonder the Bible called them fools. Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Romans, said that happens, leaves man without any excuse for unbelief. A person that does not believe there is a God is without excuse. They're without excuse. I believe there really are atheists. I believe there are people that truly are atheists. I believe there are people that live in this world that truly do not believe that God even exists. That there won't be any atheist in eternity. I promise you the day will come when everybody will know that God is real. Paul said, if you look in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, you can turn there and you can read it. But what Paul is really saying in that is that No one will ever be able to stand before God and say, I didn't believe in you because I just had no proof of your existence. There won't be anybody that will be able to say that because the proof is all around us, isn't it? Paul said the invisible things of Him from the creation are clearly understood, are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, and so they are without excuse. God is speaking every day. He's speaking every day through the things that He has created and saying, I exist. I exist. The Lord speaks through people. He speaks through people. In the fifth chapter of Exodus, in the first verse, it says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. This is after God had sent them there on their mission to tell Pharaoh, go. Let Israel go. It says, Moses and Aaron went in and they told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And you know, Pharaoh, like many people are today, he didn't see anything before him other than a man. He just looked at Moses, and he thought, well, why should I care about that? Why should I care about what he has to say? Why should I listen to him? And that's the way that many people are today. Why should I listen to the preacher? He's just a man. Why should I listen to that? Why should I care what he has to say? Or when one of God's children testifies, why should we care what they have to say about anything? But God speaks through his people. And when people reject it, they're not rejecting men. They're rejecting the Lord. They're rejecting the voice of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, in the first two verses, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake. Listen to what this verse tells us. God, at various times and in various ways in times past, God spake unto the fathers by the prophets. So if they were hearing somebody that truly was a prophet, they were hearing from God. God spoke unto them by the prophets. And he says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? What happened on the Baptist? Put Jesus underwater and brought him up. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came up out of the water, that there was a voice from heaven. Well, who was that? Oh, it was his daddy. He was letting him know how pleased he was with his boy. How pleased he was with his son. I believe people heard it. I believe people heard an audible voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 17 in the fifth verse, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a high mountain and was transfigured before them, that voice spoke again. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The people that live in the world presently might be much more inclined to hear the voice of God today if they weren't listening for everything else in the world. You know what the Bible tells us? Several times in the second and third chapter of Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'll tell you what, church, we better be hearing God, hadn't we? We better be in tune with the Lord. We better be hearing the voice of God. We better be hearing what the Spirit says to us. Because without that, we're in trouble, aren't we? We're in trouble. The voice of God sometimes is very comforting, isn't it? Oh, sometimes it's so soothing. Sometimes it's so assuring. If you look at Genesis chapter 15, in the first verse, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you ever heard the voice of God speaking to you when it just gave your heart wonderful comfort? Just gave you assurance? Have you ever been in the midst of a great trial and you're praying and you realize you just can't handle it yourself, and you're praying and you're seeking God, and God speaks to you and He calms you and He gives you this assurance that things are going to be all right, and He gives you this great peace. Isn't that wonderful when that happens? But have you ever heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you when it wasn't so pleasant to hear? When you were walking contrary to Him? You know, I have to believe that what we read there in Genesis 15 and 1 really consoled Abram. When God spoke to him and said, I'm your protection, I'm your shield, I'm your reward. But we can go to Genesis 3 and 8, and we can read about Adam after that he had sinned. And the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what they do? They ran. They were afraid. Adam said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. I remember God speaking to my heart and bringing great fear upon me. Great guilt upon me. It can be hard to deal with somebody that knows everything about you, can't it? That knows every thought that you have, that knows you better than you know yourself. Too many times today in the world, people don't care anymore about what God says. They want to do what they say. They want to do what they think. Too many times. Yeah, God, we heard your voice. And we were afraid. And so we went and we hid ourselves among the trees of the garden, as if that would do any good anyway. If you're troubled, if you're confused, if you're a child of God and you need guidance, you need direction, if you'll get your heart right, God will speak. He will speak. We know that, don't we? We know that. We know that because we have experienced that. It amazes me. I don't know how God does the things that He does, but it amazes me. And in the midst of all other things going on, and God can speak to you, and somehow, you just know that it's Him. You know, I know that statement there that Jesus made in the 10th chapter of John is a relatively simple statement. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But there's more to it. I mean, somehow God speaks to us, and we know. We know who it is. We know who it is. And if you ever hear a voice that's telling you to do something that's contradictory to this, you better try the spirits, because God just doesn't do that. He just doesn't do that. I'm thankful for the voice of God. I'm thankful that He speaks to us. I'm thankful that He instructs us. You know, this, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible, if it's presented in a way that the truth is rightly divided, God is speaking to us through this. He's speaking to us through His Word. And I'm glad that He does. Maybe somebody has something on your heart tonight. I've taken enough time. We can do that. Somebody else, something on your heart. When my wife and I were blessed with children, when those children were growing up, we would communicate with them. You know, I remember when they started going to school, we would, supper time was a big deal. We'd sit around the table and have a meal and talk to them about their day. And wouldn't it be sad, even on the human level, if people just refused any type of communication with each other? I think it would be, and God doesn't do that to His children. Brother Mike, He comes and He wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us, and He wants to teach us, and He wants to instruct us, and He wants us to listen to Him. Jesus said, "Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" Anybody else? Anything on your heart?